Good deal. Amen. Well, it is so good to be with you today. And Pastor Marty said we've known one another for a long time, and we have. But when we got to know one another, we both had hair. And so, you know, it's been a while. And so since then, we've lost a lot of hair. He's lost more than I have. And I've still got a little bit, just a little bit. But it is good to be with you in the house of the Lord today. And I'm so proud of him and his wife and family and what God is doing for you in this house today. I can sense God's presence in this place. And I don't know, I tell you what, I don't know if you serve the same God I do, but I like a God that I can feel him, right? I know it's built on a relationship. I get that. And I like relationship. Boy, I like to feel God. I like to sense his presence. And praise team, man, you guys done great and awesome. Give your praise team and band a good hand this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. And I told him, this is where I think you normally speak. And I said, I don't want to be up on stage. I just want to be down here like you. And when I grow up, I'm going to be just like him. He told you just a few minutes ago, Karen and I, my wife, we're walking through a different transition than we have. We've been dad as pastor there 28 years. I've been 18 years. So 40-something years, I don't know anything other than 8 o'clock on Sunday morning. I'm at the church making a pot of coffee, turning lights on and all that. And the first Sunday of this January, I was sitting at the house, and I didn't know what to do with myself. You know, I was lost, and so we're trying to find ourselves right now. But we believe that God spoke to us about 3 years ago. I was sharing with Pastor Marty last night about 3 years ago to transition and step down. And I want to share the long story, but God has helped us, and God has moved my son-in-law and my daughter into that position. They're doing a great job this morning. He's a wonderful minister of the gospel, Brother Caleb Rogers, good guitar player, singer, piano player, does everything. I hate him, but he can do everything I can't do. But he married my daughter and took her away and all that. But no, they're doing a great job. And God has given us opportunity just to go around a little bit over these last 3 months. I've not been to my church in 3 months. So we're giving them time just to sort of come together a little bit and acclimate together. But since then, we've been visiting churches and preaching at churches and just been enjoying ourselves. Karen, as he said, couldn't be with me today. Her mother lives with us. She's 95. She's got a great mind, mind just as sharp as anything, but her body just wore out. And somebody has to be with her all the time. So Karen has a sister, and they alternate Sundays. And this happened to be, she was with me last week when I was with your mom and dad. But she couldn't come today, and so I hate that. But she's praying for us today, and I told her, I could text this morning, said, pray for me. Pray that I do what God wants to do and say what God wants to say, amen, and open our hearts and open our ears. And so I just appreciate the presence that we feel in this house today. I don't know how long Pastor Marty preaches, but I'm going to go ahead and kick in if that's all right. You're short-winded. All right. But I want you to turn with me if you've got it. It may be on the screen, I think, in Genesis chapter 32. We just want to start there this morning. I'm thank you for that time on the TV up there. That'll help me a little bit for you. All right. Genesis chapter 32. It's a real familiar story that I want to read the scripture beginning in verse number 22. The Bible says that he arose that night and took two of his wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and they crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I'll not let you go until you bless me. And he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning on this thought. There is something in the struggle. There's something in the struggle. And we go so many different ways in this text right here and all throughout this chapter, but when I was reading this the other day, that word struggle just showed up to me, because every one of us understands what a struggle is, right? Ain't none of us like no struggles, right? We don't like the hard things. We don't like the difficult things. Every one of us, if I think I can be safe to say, we enjoy the blessings of God. We enjoy the great things of God. There's nothing wrong with that, because I believe we serve a God that enjoys blessing his people, right? Just as he's blessed us today. We love the blessings. Blessings are wonderful. But the struggles sometimes sometimes is a tough thing. But the question I want to start with this morning is this: how bad do we need a blessing today? How bad do you want a blessing? How bad do you want God to touch you today? That's really where it's at. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all," everybody say all, "all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves, they are comforted." Now, I don't know if you know this, but what I've noticed over the years is there's a lot of people in this life that want everything without any effort at all. They just want it. They want everything without any effort at all. I mean, for an example, sometimes I've heard people say, we look at the doctor's home, and we say things like, boy, I sure would like to have a home like that, but many of us don't want to go to school 15, 20, 25 years to get a house like that, right? I didn't want to go to school that long. We look at the young man walking through the mall and down the street, and he looked like he's about to bust out of his shirt with all the muscles and all of that. And I remember as a kid, I said, boy, I'd like to have muscles like that, but I wasn't willing to go to the gym and work 4 or 5 days a week pumping iron. I did a little bit, but you could tell it went here instead of here. And, you know, I wasn't willing to get all of that, but we like to say we like that. We look at newlyweds, and we look at young couples trying to have or obtain everything that a couple that has that's been married for 40 and 50 years. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I've got some young folk in our church that when they get married, they think they got to have everything just like mom and daddy does. But the problem is mom and daddy's been 40 years collecting all of those things and 50 years collecting all of those things. It's a process. Or we look at a pastor of this large church, and this guy's prosperous, and he drives a nice car, and he lives in a wonderful home. We say, I want a church just like that, and I want a car just like that, and I want a home like that. The question is, are you willing to do what he did to get what he got? Come on, somebody. Are you willing to be faithful over a handful of people, of not so perfect people sometimes? Seek God and study his word and obey him. And when it doesn't even make sense, sometimes you're simply obeying God. You have to be persecuted at times and criticized at times and humiliated at times just to get what he has worked for, because God has blessed him because he's been faithful in that thing for a long time. Many believers has got the attitude that just because that we're saved, just because we're in the family of God, God's supposed to give me everything now. Doesn't work that way, right? Doesn't work that way. We've got this thing in Arkansas, and I think we even talked about it. You shared with me yesterday in the Church of God, we've got this MIP thing, which is the ministerial internship. And it's where a young couple that wants to go in the ministry goes for 9 months of these classes, and they have to take tests and all these things. And I've been in some of those classes, and I've taught some of those classes. I've heard some of these young ministers say, well, hey, when I get out of here in 9 months, I want to pastor a church of 200 and 300 and 400. I want to make this kind of salary and all of that. And I just look at them and just grin. Well, it ain't going to work that way. It just doesn't work that way. The fact is, it costs what it costs, and it never goes on sale. It never goes on sale. Now, I believe that God does want to prosper you. I believe that. I believe that God wants to bless you. But sometimes you're going to have to go through some stuff. Sometimes you're going to have to walk through the struggle. Sometimes we even, as God's people, we even have to learn how to fight, right? And can I tell you today that there is something definitely in the struggle that is necessary to becoming what God has called you to become, or what God has ordained you to become. God didn't take out all the struggles. When you look back in the scripture, he didn't take out all the struggles in the promised land when the children of Israel got there. He left some things. Matter of fact, the Bible says he left some giants in that land. He left some struggles in that. Let me give you some reasons that he left the giants. And this is not my message. I'm just setting the foundation right now, all right? Here's some of the reasons why he left the giants. Because the children of Israel needed to learn how to fight, number one. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Think about it. 40 years they've been wandering around in that desert. 40 years water's been given to them. 40 years food has been given to them. 40 years victory's been given. 40 years, all they got to do is look to a man with a cane that goes out and talks to God, and he comes back and he gives them the answer. They ain't got to do nothing. 40 years, they've got to learn how to fight. This is a new process. You got to learn how to fight. Number two is this, because giants distinguish the difference between confessors and possessors. Think about it. It's one thing to confess the promises of God, but it's another thing to strap your sword to you and go toe-to-toe with your giant and possess your promises. Big difference. And they had to learn how to do that. There's the three things I've learned that hinder your blessings. One of them is this, is a lack of faith and a lack of unbelief. There's disobedience and rebellion, number two. And when you're unprepared, God wants you to be prepared, right? So they had to learn some stuff. Trust God in everything. Be patient many times because God is a faithful God and he is faithful to the promises that he has given you, right? We've all got promises, but how many knows that the God that we serve sometimes don't move when I want him to move? He doesn't give the promise when I want him to give the promise. I mean, I've been praying before. God, you told me this 5 years ago. Why isn't it happening yet? Because you ain't ready. Can I tell you that there's times that God wants to lay some things upon you, but he's got to get you there in order to handle what he wants to lay on you. You can't handle some of the stuff God wants to bless you with, really. You can't handle some of that. So God uses these giants or these struggles many times to prepare us to receive what he wants to give us. The other thing I found out is giants every time will expose the grasshoppers in the crowd. It's interesting when you think about that. When a giant shows up, grasshoppers begin to speak. They begin to talk. Grasshoppers, if you know, they usually blend into their environment, but giants will uncover them every time. You got to remember that grasshoppers don't eat the grapes. Mm-mm. You will never have a promised land faith if you continue to have a grasshopper mentality. God wants to bless us here. God wants to touch us. And so God had to teach us some things. The other thing I found out because God left these giants in the land is this. You get to know yourself in the struggle. You get to really, really know yourself in the struggle. The real you comes out in the struggle. Anybody ever been there? Nobody else may not know you, but you know you. God knows you. The real you comes out. Matter of fact, Hebrews 10:35 says this, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so after you have done the will of God, that you may receive the promise. Amen. The other thing is this, you get to know your God in the struggle. You get to really know God and realize that ain't nothing else going to help you except God. Your bank account's not going to do it. Your friends is not going to do it. Who your mom and daddy is ain't going to do it. But God is the God that's going to come by and sustain you and keep you through the struggle. Psalms 46 says this, God is our what? Our refuge. And he's our strength. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling Selah. There is a river, the Bible says, whose streams shall make glad the city of God and the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. I don't know if y'all sing this song here, but there's an old song we used to sing at our church that says, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of our God, and I will rejoice in that river. I will rejoice and I'll be glad. There is a fountain full of grace that flows from Emmanuel's veins. It came, they sung it a while ago, it came and it healed me. It came and refreshed me. It came and it washed my sins away. We serve a God today, I know you know this, but let me remind you that still heals. We serve a God that is still able to wash away everything ugly in our life. We serve a God that's still able to refresh me, and if I never had a struggle, how would I know that God could take them away? So there's something in the struggle. There's something in the struggle, so I got to rejoice. Now, rejoicing and struggle doesn't go together. But if you understand how God works, it does go together. When I'm in a struggle, I rejoice. God, you're helping me. You're teaching me some things. Another reason that God left the giants is this, you get stronger. You get stronger. Why? Because you begin to put down roots. Been a pastor a long time, and my dad's been a pastor a long time, and I've watched people come and go. And most of the time when people go is that they never take time to put the roots down. Never take time. Never take the time to dig into the Word of God. Never take the time to really, really get down to business with prayer to God. Can I tell you, and I hope this is okay, Pastor, we've got a good church, you've got a good church, but there ain't no church perfect. Amen. We all got issues. We all got problems. We all got some things. And so if you're coming to this church or you're coming to my church to find a perfect church, you're in the wrong house. Can I tell you there's broken people that comes? There's messed up lives that come? There are husbands and wives that's fragmented. There's kids that ain't got no sense that comes. I mean, we got all kind of issues in the body of Christ, but aren't you thankful that God, we still serve a God that's able to mend broken hearts and put people back together and open blinded eyes and set people free? Amen. You begin to get stronger when the giants is in the land. Here's an important one for me. You begin to be aware of the excesses and the unnecessary things in life. Now think about it. You know, there is some things in our life that's unnecessary. Really. Things that are taking God's place. But in the struggle, you become aware of those things. I never really understood that until about 5 years ago. In December of 2019, I had open heart surgery. Up until that point, I'd never been sick, never took a pill, never done nothing. And I'm thinking, God, can't you just break my arm first? Why you got to, you know, crack my chest open? You know, I start small, we'll build up to something, you know. But we started way up here and had triple bypass. And I remember that day vividly, Pastor. And I remember thinking about my life and how things that I thought was important wasn't important anymore. Just what? My money wasn't important. I hope you don't take this wrong, but even my church wasn't important at that point. The people in the church wasn't important at that point. But my wife was. My family was. Those things that had value and had those things that had meaning, I began to really rely on God at that moment. I had to. I didn't have no other choice. And God brought us through, and God has helped us, and God has strengthened us. But there's some things in the struggle that I begin to understand that there's some things just not necessary in life. They're okay, but they're not necessary. And then I found out that the struggle always produces a thankfulness. It produces a thankfulness. I mean, think about it. Somebody survives a tornado, their house is gone, and their car is gone, and everybody is gone, but thankfully, their family is saved. They're being thankful. They were thankful for that. And when you've got to fight for what you have, you begin to appreciate it more. When you've got to fight for what you've got, you won't let anybody take it from you. There's going to be a fight, right? It's going to be a fight. And so there's some things in this life that's worth fighting about. Struggles will test your level of commitment. They'll test your level of commitment. You may be going through some stuff today. Struggles will test your level of commitment. And the only way to gauge your level of commitment is through the struggle. If there is never a test, there can never be a victory. Think about it. If there's never a test. And then the struggle qualifies you for the rest. What are you talking about? Matthew 11, 28 says this, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Hebrews 4 and 11 says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And when we understand that, when we believe that, the struggle will qualify you for the reward. What's the reward? David heard them speak of reward before he went out to meet Goliath. And he heard him in 1 Samuel 17, 25. He says, "The men of Israel said, have you seen this man that's come up? Surely to defy Israel he has come up, and it shall be when the man will be that killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free." And there's a reward. We understand that many times the struggle, the fight, or the warfare, the praying, the waiting patiently that we have to do, the enduring is just as important as the blessing or the reward. Amen? Just as important. Now, I know Pastor Marty, we've talked a little bit about this. I know he's talked to you already this year. He even mentioned it this morning about the vision of the house in 2025, alive in 25, right? Yep. The vision for this church. But you got to remember, there are times before the vision becomes a reality. I don't want to bust your bubble. But there's times before the vision, the real vision that God has placed on your heart that wants you to dig that thing out, before that becomes a reality, the struggle will take place first to get there. There's a struggle to get there. And while we're looking at the reward, God is looking at the development that is taking place in us through the struggle. God wants to grow us. He does. He wants to grow us each and every day. I thank God every day when I wake up. God, I thank you that you put breath in my body. I thank you that you allowed me to get up this morning. Teach me something today. I've not got to the place where I've learned everything, right? Have you? I've not got to that place where God has showed me and taught me. I've got to know something and something new every day. Matter of fact, the Bible says he can be new and fresh every morning. New and fresh every morning. And so God is taking us through that development process. And probably we all know that little song we used to sing as little kids. He's still working on me, right? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. You know when I find that out mostly? When I'm in a car and somebody pulls out in front of me. I'm bad news in the car. I ain't much outside. I was coming out of Walmart one day, and I was this gentleman behind me, he'd been talking, and he was behind me in the checkout lane, and he was talking to his little kid, he couldn't have been no more 6, 7, 8 years old, talking to this little kid, ugly, just ugly talking. I just get madder and madder and madder. And I said, if he follows me out, I'm finna turn around, I'm finna say something to this guy. We finna have it out right here. He ought not talk that baby that way. And I turned around, and he was about 8 foot tall. That spirit left me right quick. I said, God, just help him. And I'm bad when it comes to things like that, but he's still working on me. He's still working on me. One thing I found out is faith is forged in the fire and the furnace of adversity. It's forged. And when you look at this text that we read to you this morning, this first generation of the children of Israel, when you understand, they died in the wilderness, not obtaining the promise. 40 years they wandered around wanting to go to the promised land, but they never did because of fear and anxiety and frustration and all these things, and they died in the wilderness because they kept saying things like, the giants are too big. We cannot possess this land. There's no way we can go in there and possess. They're gonna crush us like grasshoppers. But Caleb said in Joshua 14, he said, I'm 85 years old. He said, I'm as strong as the day I was when Moses sent me out at 40. I'm as strong as I'll ever be in battle, whether coming or going. So give me this hill that God has promised me. And if God goes with me, I'll drive them out just as God said. Can I tell you, that's the kind of faith that God wants to get us to? God may have spoke something 40 or 50 years ago, but I'm still the same guy. It's still the same promise. And if God hadn't given, he's still in the process of working on me and get me to the place where I can take my mountain and take my victory and take my hallelujah time, I guess, with God. And I just got to be patient and trust in an almighty God. Amen. And I just wonder this morning, how many of God's people have forfeited their destiny? How many of God's people have forfeited their promises just because they refuse to fight? What do we not have simply because we've refused to just listen to God? I don't know about you, but I've lived long enough. If God says something, okay, if he says it, I'm just going to do it. That's just what it is. It's just going to do it. Early, I've learned some stuff. We was talking about finance earlier, or yesterday, I think it was. And I was learning some things about finance with God. And I'm standing in this meeting, and this minister gets up, and I've been in church a long time. I know about preachers, and I know about altar calls, and I know about offering calls and all that kind of stuff. And he comes up and he said, there's 12 of y'all in this building that needs to give $1,000. I said, well, it ain't me. Because I didn't have $1,000. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, God said, I want you to get up in line. I said, you got to be kidding me. Me and Karen just got married. We have nothing. I mean, we have nothing. I said, God, there's no way. There's no way I could do this. God said, I'm trying to teach you some stuff. Stand up and give you $1,000. And me and God... Have y'all ever argued with God? I don't know. I argue with God. Now, I don't never win, but I argue with God. And long story short, I had to get up, and I stood there, and the guy, I said, look, I don't have $1,000. Can you give me 3 months? I'm just throwing out a number. Can you give me 3 months to pay it, and I'll pay it. And can I tell you that God taught me some things, and I was obedient and faithful, and God helped me sow that $1,000 seed into that ministry? Can I tell you since then, Pastor Marty, now, God just taught me some things, but whenever God speaks, I just do it now. Because I know God will always give back. God's always faithful. God is always obedient, and he blessed me with that, and he helped me to learn something. I just wonder how many of God's people, not necessarily in this house, but all over, have forfeited the blessings of Almighty God simply because we just refuse to fight. Because when the heat is on, they bailed out. They backed down. They laid down their swords and they conceded to the enemy many times. And as long as everything was going okay, as long as everything was going smooth, they were right there shouting and they were dancing and they were with the rest of the army. But when the struggle came, they caved in, and in discouragement and fear and doubt began to take over them. Sometimes we've got to walk through the struggle, amen. And the truth is, God has made you what you are in Christ is the struggle. If what God has already made you today, it took the struggle to get you to where you are today, what you had to fight for when no one else was around, what you had to fight against when everybody else thought that things were okay with you, what you had to overcome in the heat of the battle. It was the struggle, when you think about it, that really made you who you are today. Amen. It's a struggle. I mean, even the caterpillar goes through a metamorphosis, right? When it changes from this earthbound worm, if you will, into this beautiful butterfly. But in this process, we know it takes a struggle to get there. To cut the struggle short would rob the butterfly of its destiny. And I'm not going to take the time to go all over that, but here's the thing. Just like that butterfly, we've got to struggle to get released from the cocoon, and then we begin to fly spiritually. We have to struggle at times. We have to struggle. Sometimes we want God to take the struggle out of our lives. We want God to take the obstacle. And I've prayed that prayer too. We want God to just take this hard thing away from him. But just like the butterfly, if we didn't struggle, we'd be crippled. And it might cripple even our lives because God has not taught us the things that we needed to learn. God doesn't remove all the obstacles all the time. God doesn't remove all the difficulties in our lives. But here's what I do know. God has promised to be with us in times of difficulty. He has promised to be with us in the time of struggle. He has promised to strengthen us in the time of trouble. Many, many years ago, we was over on Cherry Street. We had a bit over there. That property that was at now was over on Cherry Street, and I went through a struggle where I didn't feel God. I didn't know what God. I didn't know where God was. I thought God maybe forgot about me. I was really, really going through some stuff and struggling that I needed to feel God. I needed to know that God was with me. And I went for several weeks and months like that, and it was miserable. My spirit was miserable. I couldn't get nothing in church, and I was the worship leader at that time. But I couldn't take nobody nowhere because I ain't been nowhere myself. And I was struggling. I said, God, I need you. I need to feel you. I need you to show up in my life. And God was teaching me some stuff. And I remember one afternoon. I went over to our church and it was dark. I locked the door. You know, sometimes, now listen to me, I don't know if you know this, but sometimes I just got to get alone with God and I got to speak to God in a way that only me and God speaks. You may walk up on me and say, my God, he's crazy, right? But there's sometimes I just got to say some things to God when nobody else is around. Not my wife, not my family, not my mama, not my dad, just me and God. I just want God to hear me. And I don't know about you, but when I pray, I'm a loud prayer. And sometimes the longer I pray, the louder I get. I guess I learned that from Daddy because that's what he done. But that day, I was just quiet in my spirit. And I got down over on this side of the church, and I knelt down between two pews, and I began to pray. And can I tell you, I don't know how long I was there, but all of a sudden, Pastor, I felt the presence and the arms of God wrap around me. I've never felt that since. I've never felt it before. That, but that day I felt it was almost like somebody was embracing me and somebody was hugging me, and I felt his presence all around me, and it reassured me of the fact that God, you didn't forget where I was, you didn't forget what I was going through, you just was carrying me and you was teaching me some stuff. Help me to continue to trust in you, help me to continue to love you. And it let me know that even though the struggle was real, God was bigger than the struggle. Amen. Bigger than the struggle, bigger than the struggle. Hallelujah. Listen, there's times, even like a little chicken in an egg, there's time we got to peck our way out. There's time we just got to push through the crowd. Little lady with the issue of blood, she just had to push through the crowd just to touch the hem of his garment. I tried everything else, but if I can just get to the hem, I don't have to look at his face. I just got to just touch the hem. That's the God that we serve today. He'll take us through the struggle. There's times we've got to push through. There's times we've got to muster up enough strength even to function at times. We all know what I'm talking about. And we do it because we know the victory comes with the struggle. Think about it. Samson had to go through a struggle after he was captured to refocus his relationship on Christ. As a matter of fact, the latter part of his days, he killed more Philistines on that last day than he did his whole life because he refocused. Got his eyesight where it needed to get. He got his realignment back. He had to go through the struggle. Daniel had to go through the struggle. That night he spent the night with the lions. Think about what you would do. I'd be going to struggle. Don't open your mouths, lions. Don't eat me today. I'm sure he was praying the same thing, but he had to go through the struggle. And he was able to say the next morning, "Oh, King, live forever. Oh, King, live forever." The three Hebrew children had to walk through the fire in order to walk around with the fourth man in the fire. Hallelujah. And you may be here today and you may feel like, "Well, Pastor, I'm in a fire." Can I just remind you and tell you, you might want to look up a little bit, because it could be that the fourth man in the fire could be coming alongside of you to sustain you and to keep you and to move you where you need to go. Amen. He's about to show up. The Apostle Paul went through the struggle. At the end of his life, he was able to say, "I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. There is a life that's laid up for me." Amen. He said those things. Jacob, in this text, was going through the struggle of meeting up with his brother and wondering, "What in the world is my brother going to do to me?" Scared to death. Sent people out in front of him. Different groups out. "Here, take this, take that, give it to him. Just talk to him in a different way." But he purposed in his heart that he wasn't going to let the man go until he got what he needed. "I ain't going to let you go till you bless me. Angel that wrestled, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me." And even Jesus, when you think about it, Jesus went through a beating. Jesus went through a scorning to secure your healing today, my healing today. He went to the cross to secure our salvation today. And the devil thought he had it, but somewhere between being in the tomb and somewhere between him getting up, he paid hell a visit. And he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And in Revelations 1 and 18, he says, "I am he that lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I've got the keys right now of death, hell, and the grave." And here's one of the best things about your struggle that I can tell you today. It qualifies you to help somebody else. Because you've been there. You've done that. You got the t-shirt. You understand all about that. When you and I have been through something, we can help somebody else. And when you stood your ground and fought your battles and conquered your giants, you are qualified to help somebody else through every battle that they're going through. Amen. 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 I was telling Pastor this morning, I'm an open book in the pulpit. Now, my wife don't like that, because I'll talk about her and I a lot of times, talk about the problems that we had, talk about the issues that we went through, the struggle that we went through. Talk about, and she just sits over here and she just shakes her head. She's embarrassed, but I'm just an open book. I let them all know what I do as a pastor. And sometimes we think as pastors, we got to be holier than thou. We got to be up on a pedestal somewhere. We just human just like you. Just like you. And I want my people, I wanted my people when I was pastor, I want them to know that I'm just me. I'm imperfect. But aren't you thankful that God takes imperfect people and he uses us? And he ministers us. He strengthens us. It qualifies you to help somebody else. Amen. The devil wants to make it all about you. He wants to give you tunnel vision. He wants you to focus and give your all of your attention on the struggle itself instead of the victory. But there's a victory behind the struggle. Amen. God wants you to realize that even though the devil is out there and he sent to take you out, but God is going to use it to take you up. Amen. Don't forget about that. And when God will get you up, you'll be able to help somebody. You'll be able to help somebody else get up. How do I know that? 2 Corinthians 1 and 3. The Bible says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all of our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted." Because through your struggles, God is bringing you to a place of greater influence through the struggle. God is bringing you through a place of greater blessing to help your brothers and sisters that you're associated with. Yeah, I know it don't make sense from the world's point of view many times. It don't make sense. A lot of things about God don't make sense, but that's not my problem. That's God's problem. I just got to trust him. I just got to trust God. Why? Because he's bigger than I am. He's a higher power. I'm nothing, but I'm everything with him. Aren't you thankful for that? And yeah, I may be going through a struggle, but I'm going through. Everybody say through. I'm going through my struggle. I'm developing some spiritual muscles, if you will. I'm developing some compassion and some patience and some endurance along the way and some long suffering along the way that God wants to bless me. I'm developing the ability to put myself in a position where others are and to feel what they feel so I can speak a word in season to them when that time shows up. Because that's what God is trying to do to me, right? And you got to know this morning that the enemy has been defeated already. Amen. Amen. If I don't say nothing else, then hold on to that right there. The enemy's already been defeated. He has already been defeated. Death couldn't hold him down. There's power in your tongue today. There's power in your tongue. Be careful, church, what you proclaim. Be careful what you proclaim. The Bible says there's death and life in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So speak life. Speak life. You've been through some stuff, but you came out of it. Let somebody know it. Speak life. Don't speak death. Don't go around telling everybody how bad you got it all the time. That's not speaking life. That's speaking death. Well, Pastor, you may be going, I understand that, but I got faith. God's going to bring me through. He already promised he's going to bring me. Some of you, the reason that you keep going through some stuff, and I hope this is okay. I'm just pastoral. Like you said, you set it up. I can talk to them just like you, right? All right. Some of you, the reason that you keep going through some stuff is because you won't speak life. You speak death all the time. You dwell in the misery. It's always bad. It's always awful. It's always terrible. It's always hard. It's always tough. I can't do it. Quit speaking that lie. You might not can do it, but God says with God, all things are possible. Amen. All things are possible. Hallelujah. I can do all things. I am more than a conqueror, right? So speak life. Speak truth. Some of us need to change our attitude, because if we change our attitude, we'll change our altitude. It'll change. It'll change. And some of you feel as though if I'm going down, I've met some folks like this in our church. I won't talk about you. I'll just talk about my church. I met some folks like this in our church. If I'm going down, I'm taking everybody with me. I'm going to take anybody that go with me. I'm just going to pull them down. No, speak life. Quit speaking death. Quit trying to kill the body of Christ. Lift up the body of Christ. Testify of the goodness. Tell them how good God is in your life, because we do serve a good God. And yeah, I may be struggling right now, but don't feel sorry for me, because there's something in the struggle that God wants to take me. There's something in the struggle that God wants to teach me, right? And so I need to become what God has ordained for me to be, and I've got to walk through those things. Pray for me. Pray for us. Pray for each other. Not to get out, but to go through. Not to get out of it, but to go through. God did deliver Daniel from the lion's den, but he delivered him through it. God did deliver the three Hebrew children from the fiery furnace, but he delivered them through the fiery furnace. David needed Goliath. Nobody else wanted to fight this big man. But David needed Goliath to deliver the victory to the children of Israel. He needed him. And the children of Israel needed the giants to help them learn some stuff. The three Hebrew children needed the fiery furnace to know that there was a God that could deliver them. They knew it. I mean, they knew it so much so they told the king, well, we know that God is able. I like that word, he's able. He's able, but if he don't, we're still not going to serve you, okay? We're not going to bow before this thing. We're still going to serve God. Samson needed the Philistines to secure the victory. Jacob needed to wrestle with that angel to secure the blessing. And you and I, we need the struggle. There's no testimony without a test. There's no victory without a battle. Amen. A victorious life is not a problem-free life. I hope I don't bust anybody's bubble. But a victorious life is not a problem-free life. In my years of pastoring and in my years of serving God, I've had issues. I've had problems. I've had struggles. There's some things I've had to go through, deal with. But can I tell you that the struggle don't last forever? Thank God. The struggle don't last forever. The Bible says weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. The struggle is an instrument of transition. The struggle is an instrument of transition, and it means that you're on your way somewhere. Tina, if I can get you to come to the keyboard, please. You're on your way somewhere. The devil wouldn't fight you. Here's what I found out. The devil's not going to fight you if you wasn't going anywhere. You know one of the reasons the devil stays after you? Because you're doing something right.
That's right.
If you don't never have no problem with the devil, you might want to check your spiritual walk out. You just might want to say, well, Lord, am I okay? Because he ain't after me today. But I don't know about you. He comes after me every day, it seems like, sometimes. The struggle prepares you for your future. And the struggle is an indication of transition. Everybody say transition. Transition. It's a big word for us, even at Pathway, in this stage of our life. Don't give in to the struggle. Don't throw in the towel. Don't turn tail and run in the struggle. Keep on fighting. Keep on fighting. Keep a tight line. Keep pouring on the prayer. Even if it has to be the midnight hour, keep on praying. Keep praying. I'm just going to be open a little bit. Prayer is a hard thing. It's hard. Seriously. You say, well, Pastor, you're a preacher. Why don't you say that? Well, prayer's hard. Have you ever really got down to pray? I mean, when I say prayer, I'm talking about breaking through real prayer. Prayer's hard. Sometimes for me, it takes me 20 to 30 minutes to break through. And then I can pray. Because I've done this before. I've got down to pray, and in 5 minutes, I think I've prayed everything I know to pray. In 5 minutes. Why? Because I'm not piercing through what I need to. I'm not getting the breakthrough that I need to get. And I have to labor before the Lord at times. But that's where God can teach me some things. That's where God can show me some things. So I got to keep on fighting. Got to keep on fighting. Got to keep on fighting. When we struggle in our growth, whether it's a church, whether it's us individually, it's just a sign that God is allowing something to happen to help us in the long run. It's going to take us somewhere. It's just growing pains, really. Growing pains. So don't allow the enemy to come in and rob you of the victory. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm just in transition. Don't feel sorry for me. We're just going somewhere. We're just going somewhere. I was thinking about this. I want to close with this little story. Many years ago, and Pastor Marty told you a little bit about my dad that's been my pastor for my whole life, but my dad was always an avid hunter, even when he was a boy. And what nothing, he'd go out, he'd stay out all night hunting. You know, that's what he done in South Mississippi. And so when I was born, of course, he wanted to take his little boy hunting with him, teach him some things. So we used to go hunting all the time. But Daddy would hunt deer and turkey and anything he thought he could eat, he'd hunt, you know. And I couldn't have been no more than probably 4, 5, 6 years old. And he told my mom, I'm going to take Danny out and we're going to go turkey hunting one afternoon. We went out, and I hadn't thought about this little story up several years ago. I shared it with you until the Lord just brought it back to me one day. He took me out, and he heard a turkey gobble. And he's a little boy, you know, we make too much noise, you know. So he set me on this little log right in front of this little pond out in the woods. And he said, now, son, stay there until I get back. All right, I can do that. Stay there until I get back. Well, it was in the afternoon. And he said, I'm going to go over this little hill, and I'm hearing there's turkeys gobbling. I'm going to go get me a turkey, and we'll come back, and we'll go to the house. Okay. So I sat there. And as a little boy, I'm kicking the branches and kicking everything and breaking twigs and just looking around, just enjoying nature. But Daddy didn't come back. Daddy got occupied with the turkeys, forgot about the little boy. And he got interested in that, and he was zoned in on these turkeys, trying to sneak up on these turkeys to kill him the turkey. And by, it started getting dark. And noises started happening. If you've ever been out in the woods at night, things begin to come alive. Everybody don't go to bed at night. Some things become alive. And I'm sitting there on that log, and I'm beginning to hear some of these things. The crickets begin to chirp. The frogs started croaking. The wind through the trees started making this little howling noises, and all these are getting darker and darker. And I couldn't find Daddy, and I don't remember if I hollered for him or not. I don't think I did, but I just remember hearing those noises, and it frightened me as a little boy. And as a little kid, Pastor, I made up my mind. I said, I ain't staying here. I don't know what's out there, but I ain't staying here. I'm not staying here. There's moments in our life we get in situations where we wallow in that stuff. We've got to decide, I'm not staying here. I don't know what's out there, but I'm not staying here. And as a little boy, I got up in the night and I began to run through the woods. I didn't have no clue where I was going. No clue whatsoever. But I began to run. I don't know how long and how far I run. I don't remember. But all of a sudden, I run into the belly of my father, the gut of my dad. And he grabbed me. He said, boy, what are you doing? He said, I had to chase you down. What are you doing? And I said, well, I wasn't going to stay there because I was too scared there, and I was trying to come find you somewhere, and I'm running to my father. A few years ago, the Lord brought that back to my attention and said, son, just like that little time where you were fearful and you were in the struggle that you thought, I knew where you was all the time. But you made up your mind that I'm not staying in that place. And when you begin to run, I met you and you hit me. And there's moments in my life where I've met Jesus face to face in the struggle. There's been moments in my life where I had to hit him right in the gut, so to speak, spiritually speaking, and say, God, I don't know where I'm going, but I know I didn't want to be there. I know you're out there somewhere. I know, God, that you're with me, and I just had to find you somewhere, and I had to get up, and I had to make my mind up in fear to run to you. And I'm telling you today, in the midst of the struggle, you can run to God. In the midst of the struggle, whatever we're dealing with, you can go to Father, and he will help you. You can go to Holy Spirit, and he will minister to you. He will strengthen you. He will guide you. He will keep you. He'll grow you. He'll give you some things that you need. And I'm telling you, I've lived long enough to understand. I'm not old, but I ain't young either. I've lived long enough to understand that in God, everything is possible. In the Lord, anything is possible. And all I've got to do is trust in him. All I've got to do is lean upon him. Whether I'm young, whether I'm middle-aged, whether I'm old, it doesn't matter. God is still God. He's still supreme. He's still on the throne. He's not on vacation. He ain't asleep. He still knows exactly where I am today, and he knows exactly where you are today. And in the midst of the struggle, God can take you out of that struggle and teach you some stuff. That's the God that we serve. That's the God. There's something in the struggle. Don't negate the struggle. There's something in the struggle. I want every head bowed and every eye closed real quick. You may be here this morning, you say, Pastor, I'm in a struggle of my life. I don't know what direction to go. I don't have a clue. All I know is I trust God. And I've got to have him in my life. If everything else leaves, I've got to have him. I'm in the struggle. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Danny, I'm just in a struggle and I need somebody to agree with me, that God is going to teach me, God is going to bring me out of that struggle, would you just lift up your hand and put it right back down? I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I'm going through some stuff that I need God just to touch. I need God to help me with. Thank you so much. Thank you. And I believe the same God as that little old boy I was when I left that little pond and off that little stump, running through those dark woods that where my earthly father met me in his stomach. I believe today if you'll come running to the Father, your heavenly Father will meet you where you are. He'll meet you where you are. You ain't got to change nothing. He'll meet you where you are. He'll meet you where you are. In the midst of the shame even, in the midst of the sickness even, in the midst of the difficulty, God will meet you because he loves you. He cares about you. He loves you today. In just a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand. And when I ask you to stand, those of you that lifted your hands, I'm not going to force it on you. You do what you feel like you need to do. But I'm telling you, if you'll come running to God, God will touch you today. God will strengthen you today. We'll get the prayer team up here. We'll agree with you. We'll pray with you. But I believe today that God is going to touch you today before we leave this house. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I feel like I've said what you wanted me to say today. And I pray, God, that it wasn't offensive, but I pray that it was helpful. I pray, God, that you help us to understand that in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the fire, in the midst of the lion's den, even in the midst of the Goliaths in our life, God, you care about us so much that we can come running to you. We can come running to you. Thank you for your mercy today. Thank you for your grace today. While I'm praying, if you work on this prayer team, I'd like for you to come up and just sort of line out, if you will, to help me out a little bit. Just line out in front a little bit, the prayer team. And I want you to face the congregation. But if you're here today, while everybody else in this house, if you will stand, if you raised your hand today, would you please come and find somebody today and help us? Let us pray with you today. Let us agree with you today. Get somebody by the hand. Let them agree with you. I believe where two or three are gathered together that God is in the midst of, and God is going to touch you. God is going to strengthen you today in the name of Jesus. Would you come? Would you come in Jesus' name? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
How many enjoyed that word today? Glory to God. I'm so glad you preached at 12:15 because they'd want me to stop at 12 next week. You did, so amen. Because I'd just disappoint you, wouldn't you? You know, he preached about struggle. I still don't like them. Still don't like it. But amen, we can get through it, amen. Thank you, Pastor Danny, for such a good word, an on-time word. I believe that with all of my heart, an on-time word for so many people that are struggling with things in today's life and stuff. We need to know that God has a purpose and a plan in our struggle. Amen? Amen. There's no immunity. No immunity because you become a Christian. Let me bless you before we leave.